So what's going on in the world? We're going to do open lines here in a moment. Under fire, in a campaign debate, Howard Dean conceded grudgingly Sunday night that he never named a black or Latino to his cabinet during the nearly 12 years he had as governor of Vermont. I guess he was served up that zinger by Al Sharpton. Impatience with Iraq's occupying forces, they are impatient over there, boiled over Sunday as unemployed Iraqis pelted British troops with thank yous and love. No, actually stones. And a top Shiite Muslim cleric demanded the country's next parliament be elected, a position at odds with American plans. Now, I didn't get an opportunity to see 60 Minutes, but I am assured by Fast Blast that there was a it's bigger than Watergate type story, right? Ex-Secretary of the Treasury Paul O'Neill came out with a book, The Price of Loyalty, right? How the administration was planning war before with Iraq before 9/11. Well, I wouldn't be shocked by that. Really? I think I halfway believe it myself. I think there were probably plans to finish off what Dad started. And they went on to say they'd divided up all the oil booty to be had beforehand. I don't know about that, but yes. I think it's possible that we very well knew what we were going to do, whatever. I mean, America does not traditionally do that, but then what if there had not been 9/11? We would not have had, would we have then, wouldn't there have been a much bigger hue and cry when we invaded Iraq had there not been 9/11? Much, much bigger. Without immediate provocation, are there words of weapons of mass destruction pending over our industrial heads aside? There really wasn't very much justification to do what we did. But, you know, that's history. And as I've said before, now we are there and we have to figure out how to finish it off. You know, kind of like Brett Favre there in the last couple of minutes. You've got to manage to close the deal, right? And that's what we've got to do with Iraq now. Without getting too many more Americans and other allies killed, we've got to figure a way to close the deal. More in a moment. Incidentally, a lot of people already think I am the mad scientist. I'm the mad ham radio operator. I'm going to double the size of my already very large antenna. It's presently a 1,000-foot loop, what's called a 1,000-foot loop, with two actual loops and then mesh underneath on the ground, soaring into the air. Well, I acquired another piece of property that was critical to the continuation of my madness. And so that connects, you see, to yet another piece of property that I happen to have. And so the loop will then soon grow and extend to 5 acres of madness. It's going to be really big. People just shake their heads at me. Mars. I'm just shaking my head about Mars. Rocks. But it is, of course, a very, very interesting mission. And the soil that the rover hit as it bounced down is apparently really interesting and weird stuff. The rover's coming off its little stand to examine that and a whole lot more. One of the things they have found on Mars so far would appear to be the evidence of water on the red planet. Of course, that would lead one to the, I don't know if it's an inevitable conclusion, but certainly probability that, you know, you've got water and air, you've got life, probably. But something happened to the life on Mars, something jolting, something catastrophic, something biblical. Oh, did I say that? And then, as I mentioned to the audience last night, I wish to mention to you again, we get this story from the journal Nature, you know, the well-respected journal Nature. Climate change extinction, a threat to 25% of animals. What the scientists are saying, and they are the scientists that are saying this, are that in our lifetimes, well, maybe not mine, but most many of you, the planet will lose fully one quarter of all of the plant and animal species that are here right now. You give that a little bit of thought. 25% of everything, gone because of climate change. That's the latest in Nature. You're definitely going to, you're really going to want to take a hard look at that and think really hard about it. Well, this is an interesting case. Apparently, at a Burger King drive-in, some teenage pranksters learned how to hack into the wireless frequency. You know, they have a little gal who comes on and asks you what you would like, right? Whatever. Well, the teenagers are hacking into it. Policeman Jerry Sherlink said the pranksters told one customer who had just placed an order, you don't need a couple of Whoppers. You're too fat. Pull ahead. The offenders are reportedly tapping into the wireless frequency at the restaurant in Troy, Michigan. Police believe the culprits are watching and broadcasting from close range, probably so they can see the reaction of the astounded customer, right? You think what about me? That's the sort of thing that perhaps when I was much younger, well, I may have considered. Hey, the father of the euro, that's the money in Europe, right? The euro now thinks that there should be a new global currency. So that's right. The U.S. dollar would be kaput. And we'd probably have to use some of that funny colored European money. Not good. But he'd like to do it. Robert Mundell, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, often credited with paving the way to the European single currency, has now called for a global currency. And I wonder how you all feel about that. Having to give up your dollars for some shiny little colored hunk of paper that would be a world currency, spendable. Oh, it would make trade so easy, wouldn't it? Everybody had the same money, imagine. Probably going to go that way. The new world is coming, whether we like it or not, and the answer is mostly not. It is occurring. Now, fortunately and hopefully, with regard to the way I feel about it, not in my lifetime, but I see an irreversible trend, don't you? One world this, one world that. The world shrinks with more communication. Satellites ring the planet. Everybody talks to everybody in the immediate. Billions of dollars trade in the air overnight in the ether as the satellites buzz around us. So it is morphing into a one-world kind of place. And eventually, I suppose, all borders will disappear. And you can see it coming. Definitely don't like it because I'm as red-blooded American as anybody else, and the idea of erasing the borders and all that we are, especially in the world, doesn't appeal to me one bit. A New Mexico funeral home owner received the surprise of his career, I'll bet he did, when a man pronounced dead at a hospital and then taken to life here at the funeral home suddenly decided to come back to life just before he was going to be embalmed. In other words, we had reached the point where you were there in the funeral home and they were going to embalm you. This is passing a lot of hurdles of he's dead. And he, a fellow named, Russell Muffley, owner of Muffley Funeral Home in Clovis, New Mexico, said he noticed Felipe Padilla breathing when the man was pronounced dead, after he was pronounced dead at a hospital, as he was being transferred to his facility on Wednesday, he was rushed back to the same hospital immediately, of course. In fact, you'd think they'd be rushing back the fellow at the funeral home, right? As well as this fellow, but he didn't recover. He was declared dead a second time. And I guess they waited probably the maximum amount of time before embalming him and then went on with business. But, yeah, that would give you the shock of your life, wouldn't it? Well, all right. Let us do some open lines and see what's on your mind out there, shall we? Anything you want to talk about at this hour is absolute fair game. In the next hour, we will speak with Dr. Richard Boylan, who will talk, among other things, about something that, well, I guess some talk show hosts can discuss this matter of star children. That is to say, perhaps children on the planet now that are seeds of alien-human combinations. I mean, this man is a PhD, and that's what he's here to talk about tonight. But to me, the whole concept of star children, while appealing in fantasy, it's a kind of a reach, right? A little bit of a reach for me, but maybe you never know. Maybe they're here now. Who am I to know? Of the billions on this planet, I know darn few of them personally. So, could be. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Is that me?
That's you.
All right. About 50 years ago, I invented a high pneumatic drive.
A what?
A high pneumatic drive.
A high pneumatic drive.
Yes, and it's a machine that runs on its own energy.
Oh.
And it uses one to 5% of its power to run it. And I never did nothing with it because oil was so cheap. And
meaning, sir, hold it. Meaning that you get it started with 1% to 5%, or you have to continuously use 1% to 5%?
I have to continually use 1% to 5% of its energy.
All righty. To keep it in perpetual motion.
Now, you made a challenge.
Oh, yes.
And now, if I make this thing up, what kind of security do you have?
Me?
That it won't be stolen.
Oh, that it wouldn't be stolen. Well, let's see. I've said I would like to have somebody send me so much as even a free energy toy. And you're offering a free energy drill, pneumatic thing.
It's a high pneumatic drive. It's a machine.
Well, I don't have any security. You know, I've got personal security and that kind of thing, but I'm not sure I'd die for your drill.
Well, it's a machine that runs a generator, in other words.
Yeah.
I just wondered what kind of security.
Well, all right. Have you already built this, or do you?
I built a small one a long time ago. I'm going to build a smaller one now.
Even a smaller one.
Yes.
Usually, people build bigger ones.
A big one. Now, see, the big one would use 1% to 5%. The small one would take around about 45% to 50% to run it because it's so small. It's going to be about 6 feet high by about...
Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking of something. If you use 45, 50% of the power to run it...
Yeah.
Then eventually it's going to run down.
No.
Never, huh?
No. It could continue using its own energy.
It does not deplete at that rate. It just...
No.
Okay. Well, all right. You contact me by email. I have indeed issued this challenge. So if you got the goods, I'll figure out a way to have security and have the time to examine it. All right?
Yeah.
All right. So contact me by email. I'm artbell@mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. That is general information for all of you. If you'd like to email me, artbell, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, all lowercase, at mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Howdy.
Art, this is Chris up in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Hey, Chris.
It's actually pretty warm up here, warmer than New York.
How warm?
It's one above.
All of one above zero.
Well, yeah, that's a tropical heat wave for us.
Actually, for Fairbanks, it is, you know.
Yeah. I'll listen to you on Kayak FM or AM up here.
Yes, sir.
And you had mentioned yesterday about the Mars rocks, about how the pictures just, your mind is pretty much just making it look like whatever you want.
Well,
yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think that's the natural human tendency, you know, to try and make order out of chaos, of course.
Well, I came up with this idea, and there was one other thing I want to discuss after this, but the idea was this. You mentioned that if you could go out to Death Valley, you could take a picture out there that would look just like the Mars rocks. What we ought to do is have people go out to different desert locations like that.
And do exactly that.
Do exactly that. Change the background
Or maybe, you know, Sedona would be good. Because Sedona, for example, is pretty much red.
Oh, yeah.
There's an area to the west side of Las Vegas called Red Rock. That would be good. Or the Death Valley floor would be ideal. And my contention is that if you took a picture of selected areas in those places and then you were to turn it over to someone, here's the latest strip from Mars, you know, they'd find something.
Mm-hmm.
They'd find a shoe, an old implement, something.
And, of course, you remember Wayne Green about his moondoggle.
Oh, yeah, well, of course.
I might say that Mars is the same thing, though. So.
Right.
But the other thing I wanted to mention was the collective consciousness you talked about.
Yes.
It reminded me of something I read in the Bible once, in Genesis 11, verse 6. I'm not going to quote it to you. I'll just tell you the...
Paraphrase it.
Yeah, it basically said the people were one, they had one language, and because they were one and had one language, nothing would be restrained from them that they imagined to do. So I got to thinking about what
Man,
you said.
Man, that fits. That definitely fits, doesn't it?
Well, let's do that with Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Pick a good night when there's a lot of listeners on. That's pretty much we're all hearing in one language now anyways, English. And we can all concentrate on Osama bin Laden being found.
Being found?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I guess that wouldn't be so bad. I thought you were going to have him have a coronary or something.
Well, no, no.
I mean, inevitably, the Prime Minister of Canada would then fall down dead and we'd get blamed. You see, those are the kinds of things that I worry about with all of this. And it's why I don't experiment in these areas. I'm not even sure about what you just said, because...
Well, if we find them, people will realize, hey, this is something real, you know. Of course, the government would probably want to investigate into it and be upset with you, but
something awful would happen. They'd get them cornered in a cave, and we'd have a bunch of troops there, and he'd light off the only nuclear weapon he'd laid his hands on so far. Something, it's just tampering with things that we don't know about.
Oh, and one other quick thing.
Yes?
What was this free energy device challenge you have? Because I have a device I built at, I don't know if you'd call it free energy.
Well, look, all I've ever said, it's not really a challenge. I've just said, look, for God's sakes, if there's really such a thing out there as a free energy device, bring me one. And we always check out my uplink, you know, the thing that sends my signal from here to there to the satellite and then onward across our great nation. So I cranked it up as usual, and woe and behold, it wasn't working. Something was wrong. You could type, and you could hear a little tink, tink, tink as you typed. You know, it makes a little sound, but nothing I typed brought any response. It was a blank screen with only a blinking cursor. Well, you know, the keyboard plugged into the bottom of the monitor, and then from the monitor it came out. And so I didn't think anything about it, and I thought, well, we're dead. This time, we're really dead. This is a true story. And I had worked on it, you know, hassled with it and worked on it all day long, trying to get something, some any little thing from it, and I couldn't. And I finally wrote it off, and I said, oh, well, you know, we'll do the program on ISDN, which is a different carried way to carry the program, you know, sort of a backup thing. Anyway, I went to bed. It was about 5:30 in the morning, and I was almost asleep, right on the very edge of sleep. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, no, wait a minute. The keyboard plugs into the bottom of the monitor, which is unusual. Let me think, how does the rest of it go? Well, the rest of it goes out of the back of the monitor comes a cable, which goes to a modem where there's a switch, and then back down to the DTV 100, which is a digital thingy at the bottom, transmitter, converter. And I thought, you know what? And I was just about to sleep. I mean, right on the very edge of sleep. And somehow in my head, I saw that connector as being off. Buck naked, I ran across the house, pulled the uplink rack out of the closet where we keep it, and looked down, and I'll be damned, there was that cable pulled out. I reached down, put it in firmly once again, and success! And it's the reason I told that story is because there's one of those things that the mind works on all day long. It was bugging the you-know-what out of me, and I worked on it all day long. And then just that instant before full sleep, it hit me like a rock. I could see it. I ran across the house naked, pulled it out. What a sight, huh? And there was that connector, not connected, plugged it in, all was well. And we plunge back into the unknown. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm actually a many time caller. I'm sorry.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, then you can't be on this line. You have violated the rules. You have violated severely the rules, and moreover, you have admitted you have violated the rules, which means that you must call another line. You can't call up on that line and have the first sentence out of your mouth be, I'm a many-time caller, Art. You know that's reserved for first-timers only. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, is that me?
That would be you.
Hi, Art. I've enjoyed listening to your show for, since about 95 or so.
Quite a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the things I've been wondering about with these Mars missions, with the landers on there, do you know if they have in the plans of also including a microphone system on the lander so we could,
You know, that's such
hear the winds or you hear the winds or...
That's a really good point. A really good point, because a microphone and audio, as compared to the video that they send back, would take very little bandwidth. And wouldn't that be cool, to be able to hear Mars? There's enough atmosphere, I believe, to hear, isn't there?
I would think so.
Yes. That'd be
enough. There's enough atmosphere that they have to use parachutes, so...
The sound of Mars. Yeah, I think people would go berserk to be able to hear Mars. I would.
Yeah, pass that along to Hoagland. Maybe he's got some connections and they can do something about it.
Well, imagine what we'd go through then. Every little buzz and click would be a Martian.
Well, anyway, I think it would be pretty interesting.
It sure would. Thank you. Now, there's a guy with a good idea. Now, why has NASA not provided for an audio feed of some sort from Mars? There would be, I believe, enough atmosphere, right? And it would be tantalizing. Well, maybe they just don't believe there's any sound on Mars. Save the wind. That's it. They have big storms, wind storms on Mars. Some almost perpetual, actually. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, this is Dustin from South Dakota.
Dustin. Yes, Dustin.
Yeah. I was calling... in regards to that call you got about the guy doing some digging in the Rockies there.
Of course, the guy who got cut off, did the digging, and very suspicious. Has there been a follow-up to that yet? No. Have I received an email from him? No. Have I received another call? No. Or any attempt at communication? Zip, nothing. So... either the guy was messing with us, or they got him.
Yeah. Can you run that on the air again?
The call?
That call?
Well, of course, we can do anything. But It won.
My friend, it's kind of hard for me to explain that to other people, try and explain that call to them without them hearing it. There's so many people I wanted to have hear that call.
That was a very strange call, I admit. I'll see what I can do. I'll put in a request.
I appreciate that.
All right, take care. Sure, why not? West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I just looked in my calendar to see whether we still had a, you know, whether the full moon was now, but it was actually a week. It was
that's right. That's
earlier.
Right.
But this is one of those zingy nights, it seems. Anyway, well, I called about to say something about the Star Children, but also to say that Al Sharpton's remark was really unfair because there are essentially no blacks or Hispanics in Vermont, and that would...
Well, that's a little hard to believe.
Pardon?
That's a little hard to believe.
Well, I've heard there's something like 0.1% population that are
Marked. Yeah, I know. It would be by percentage of certainly a small
population. I mean, maybe he should have thought of this. Who knows when he started thinking about becoming president? You know?
Well, Al Sharpton is, you know, his name fits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a real sharp...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, and then the other thing is that, I just lost
Star,
it.
The Star Children. You were going to...
Yeah, no, there was something else, too, but I just lost it.
Well, go back to the Star Children.
Yeah, okay.
Now, what do you think about that whole concept? Do you think there are half and halves here, or...
Well, I don't know, but I ran into this first back in the 80s, and I once went to a UFO abductees conference in Boston because I was curious, and John Mack, whom I had heard lectured, you know, during the nuclear freeze era when he was, you know, working towards that goal.
Yes.
Was going to be there, and I found him very interesting, and of course he was so good looking. Anyway. So I went to this conference.
Tell me something. Does that affect the believability of the speaker? If they're really good looking?
No, I don't think so. That was just a plus.
All right.
Bud Hopkins was there. And I found the people to be very nice and very open. I feel comfortable when I'm amongst people who are outside the circle, who are eccentric like me.
But remember the spider and the fly.
Oh, really? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, and then there's some saying about catching more flies with honey.
Oh, I see.
Than vinegar.
Well, there were some women who had arranged the conference who really irritated me, and I've felt guilty about it ever since because they were so amorphous. They had no hard edges at all. You couldn't get any pieces of information from them. And they sent out a flyer before the conference that there was going to be some project having to do with children who found that they could read their teachers' minds and that they were and this was going to discuss how to help these children cope with ordinary life like school.
Cope.
Yeah.
If I, as a child, I would have given nearly anything to be able to have read my teacher's mind. All I did was annoy most of my teachers. I really did. I was, as you might imagine, I was a smart aleck in school. You know, I was a joker in school. Not always, but, well, yeah, more than not, actually. I was a wiseacre, so it would have been really cool if you could have read a teacher. I mean, imagine if you could read the teacher's mind. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Holy mackerel, what is that? That's some weird sound. Listen to that. There may be a person there.
Hello? Yeah, this is Greg.
Greg, what the hell was that noise?
Oh, I'm in an 18-wheeler, sir.
Oh, so you had me down on the seat rumbling.
No, that's just the noise from the engine through the line.
All right. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Last night I heard a lady, a friend of yours you were talking on the radio with, going through Mojave. I never found out if you ever got an answer to that.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. There is some cutoff, according to people, that goes around.
Yeah, there's a bypass.
Yes, we did get that. Thank you very, very much for taking the time and trouble to call. But yes, we are very well aware of that. Very interesting answer to the whole thing. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
How are you doing tonight, Art?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, this is a little bit out of the realm for Coast to Coast, but I did want your expert opinion on who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl this year?
New England.
New England and?
I don't know. You're really pushing me here. Maybe. Did you see Indianapolis play today?
No, but I did watch Donovan McNabb.
Man, I tell you what. They, like, didn't make any mistakes. And every time you gave that team the ball, they went down the field and scored a touchdown. I mean, it was just a classic class in pro football. I mean, they were perfect. So I guess I'd have to say, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis is going to be the champion?
You know, right this second, that would be my call. I mean, if they continue to play like that, they're not stoppable.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. They've had a very productive season. And listen, I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of the show. You have a good night.
All right. Thank you. You see, I really have nothing hard-edged against Kansas City, my remarks. I know I'll get a lot of emails, but over the years, Kansas City has done me harm. I mean, I we're allowed to bet. You know, it's legal. You can bet here in Nevada. And there are many years where we bet recreationally on pro football here. And I'll tell you, there is no team in the NFL that has zapped me more times, particularly making heart bets like on San Diego or the Raiders or whatever, than Kansas City. So was I hoping for their best today? No, I was not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Mr. Bell.
That would be me.
Oh, good to hear your voice again.
And you, sir.
I've missed you over the last, I tuned back into you a couple months ago.
Yep.
This is Gino up in New York.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering, whatever happened to one of your two favorite guests? How's he doing, Gordon Michael Scanlon?
Gordon is fine. I get to communicate with Gordon fairly regularly. And, you know, because we're both ham operators, and he is a very special person. He's fine.
So we could be looking forward to him coming back on sometime to be on.
Always, always, yes.
Because I know in light of what he said about the solar flare-ups and that we have had not long ago, the largest ever recorded.
Now, I think you may be referring to Ed Dames.
I think maybe about 3 New Year's ago.
Oh.
He was on and talking about when it gets up to around 500 with the poles reversing constantly.
Yes, 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 yes.
And at that time, I think it went up to around 350 or something, the explosions that had happened, and never went above 200 in the 400 years they're looking. So just wondering how that was measuring out with his recent insights and how he's doing and all that.
Well, I don't know, but I am watching the current solar conditions, and I got a little fast blast a while ago about somebody having sighted an asteroid or something or another headed toward the sun, and there is one particular sunspot pointed just about virtually right at Earth right now, and there would be, if it should go off and produce a big flare, a possibility of Earth getting pretty well zapped with our magnetic south pole looking with the polarity looking south right now. Earth would be fairly vulnerable. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
This is Chris from Missoula, Montana. Listen to you on KGBO.
Yes, sir.
That's a pretty good idea that guy had earlier about putting the microphone on a spacecraft.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be really cool to be able to listen to what Mars sounds like.
No good on the moon because there's no atmosphere. But yeah, on Mars, I mean, why not? This? What would the sound of Mars be? Probably just...
Well, you know, Steve Squires might be kicking himself right now thinking, oh, I should have thought of that. What did we think about that?
That's right.
Hey, I was calling, I was just wondering, why do people have such a hard time believing that we went to the moon?
I do wonder about that, and I think the answer may be that even today, in this new century, we actually still have a hard time believing that we could do such a thing. I mean, even today, a lot of people look at the moon, they just don't believe we did it. I don't know, but we did. I'm sure we did.
Yes, there's just like so much proof, you know. There's so many things that say there's absolutely no way that we could have faked that. I mean, you look at the movies that are made today.
I'm not so sure about that.
Really?
Just for the sake of argument, suppose we had actually wanted to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we could have, actually. I mean, you know, it could have been done on a sound stage, just the way the movie showed it happened and all the rest of that. So, yeah, I mean, it probably, if we could go to the moon, then we could certainly fake going to the moon.
You're an amateur radio
operator, yes. But I do think we went.
There was something I heard that when they said that amateur radio operators actually listened to the astronauts as they got near to the moon.
That I can't confirm. It would make sense, certainly, that amateurs then were listening on the frequencies.
But now if they did that, wouldn't they be able to, isn't there like a Doppler effect that can be measured?
There would be a Doppler while the craft was moving, and then there, of course, would be, if they actually could receive from the moon, there would be a specific enough delay.
Right.
Of course, how would you calibrate that delay when you're just hearing one side? So now, you know, actually the thing I believe could have been faked, we could have pulled that off. But my argument is, and my belief, that we didn't. I believe we really went.
I think we did, too.
Oh, you do?
I think we did, too. To say otherwise seems to be insulting toward the thousands of people who are involved in the project.
Absolutely.
And the astronauts themselves, you know?
No, absolutely. So. No, anyway, we went to the moon. And we're about to go back.